Cam Coleman is who we thought he was, but he wasn't the only one making plays.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
What's up, everybody? We're back. It's episode 32 of the Top Button Podcast. Got a little Masters flavor for Masters Week. And we're going to talk a lot of stuff today, mostly spring game related. My first chance to break it all down, and we're going to have some fun doing it. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes. I know he was watching Saturday. We were texting about it. I think he's just as pumped as most are at Cam Coleman's performance. But you got to give him a shout, activewealth.com or annuity360.net. Look, you may already have some sort of savings plan or retirement plan, but how do you know it's the best? How do you know it fits your needs the way it needs to? If that's the case, give Ford a shout. He'll analyze it with you together, make sure it's got you where you need to be, and he could recommend a better option if that were to be the case. It's no risk, and you can make a friend out of it, an Auburn friend. So check him out, Ford Stokes, activewealth.com. Guys, I mean, I know that we can talk spring game, and mostly all the conversations are going to center around Cam Coleman, as they should. I don't want to completely bore and beat a dead horse. I'm going to talk about him really quick, but I think some of the promise that we saw from some of the other receivers ought to give you a little bit of hope as far as this wide receiver room goes moving forward into the actual season. But look, you got to start off. I mean, it's unbelievable to think, when you take all the context of who Cam Coleman is, how young he is, the fact that he's here early, and the fact that he literally left the press conference early so he could get ready to go to prom. Like, think about that. This kid comes out, he's enrolling in college early, in about three practices. Once he's like, okay, let me figure this out real quick. Okay, I got it. I figured it out. I'm going to go ahead and take over now. Thank you for all the tutoring. I got this now. He comes in three, four practices, takes over, and then you see him in the spring game go absolutely off, four catches, close to 100 yards, and an unbelievable touchdown. And then he says, hey, I'll do the press conference, but I got to go early because I got prom. I got to go to prom. Can you imagine? I'm going to take a little page from Zach right now. Can you imagine walking into your senior prom, having just won the A-Day MVP at a college, any college, insert college? You just won the spring game MVP. You enrolled early, and you're walking into your senior high school prom. I cannot imagine. Had to be like a celebrity, you know, Justin Bieber showing up. I mean, it was crazy. I can only imagine the excitement around that. What a day to see him. He's faster than I expected. His speed translates to the next level. He's able to make a variety of different catches. You saw him make a diving over the shoulder catch early in the game, a 50-yard bomb from Hank Brown. That's one of the toughest plays in any sport. Baseball, you know, any sport that involves you catching a ball, anything over your shoulder is tough. Throw diving away from you into the, you know, diving away into the equation, it's just that much more tough. So you make that catch, you slip and you fall on a dig route at the sticks. You slip and you fall, but you still are able to maintain your focus, and from the ground you get up and you make a catch for a first down. And then obviously you got the jump ball, which was, I mean, that's a play that's just, you just give yourself. That's like in basketball when you have ISO, you know, you just say, everybody spread out, I got one-on-one, and that's our offense. There's no play. There's no pick. There's no nothing. It's just you go over there. You go over there. Y'all spread out. Let me get one-on-one, and that's the play. And I'm going to go win it more than I'm not. That's a play that is added into this playbook now, and you just saw it. There was no window. And I'm going to talk a little bit about young DBs later. I thought that it was great defense. You couldn't even there was a portion of time on the replay. You can't even see Cam Coleman. You know, when it's the down-the-line shot, you can't even see Cam Coleman. He's covered up, but he can still maintain his focus, has incredible ball skills, so young. It's just unbelievable what this kid – unbelievable what this kid can do. There was another catch in there that I can't quite remember off the top of my head. I think it was a probably a bad throw. Hugh was kind of getting on Cam on one end, but it felt like the throw was bad too. He still made the catch. It was just short of the first down for like no gain, but all the others were incredible. So he showed a lot of variety of skills that he has, and it's just amazing that this kid is, you know, here, just here in spring. Like he's here. He's supposed to be still in high school. Like you don't expect this early. He's going to be the guy day one. Like he's already well beyond maturity as far as just being a freshman. So the summer's going to be interesting. I mean, I feel like he's only going to get better, faster, stronger, and then you're going to go into the spring and you have a true one-on-one guy. But he wasn't the only wide receiver making plays. Look, people, you know, scoffed when you added a G5 guy, Robert Lewis. Some of it understood because of some of it's understandable because of last year you added a bunch of G5 guys in the portal and you got essentially no production out of any of them. And so you add Robert Lewis early in the December portal and you're like, here we go again. But I mentioned, you know, this was a guy that was pinpointed early, somebody that was not a let's just get somebody who's got a relationship. Let's just go get it. Hey, you know Nick Martiner? Why not? 6'6", let's add him to the roster. Let's see what happens. This was a guy, hey, we have a specific role that we feel like this guy could fill. We evaluated him, we targeted him early, and we went and got him. And I think he's going to fit he's going to play a huge role in this offense. He is a absolute do-it-all guy. He can go inside. He can go outside. He can run deep. He can run short. He actually caught literally about all those passes. He had somewhere around 5 or 6 catches for over 70 yards. Didn't have a touchdown, but there was only one touchdown in the game. I think he's going to be a huge factor and a huge piece. He's going to be basically your number two guy, I would imagine, unless Perry Thompson comes in and he's an even bigger stud, you know, than Cam Coleman. But Robert Lewis, great addition, really smooth runner. When he caught his longer pass kind of over the shoulder, it didn't even look like he's running fast, but he beats the defender. Makes a beautiful throw and a pretty over-the-shoulder catch. He takes a slant that was which was kind of thrown behind him, some sort of like slant or quick in route, kind of thrown behind him, a 4 or 5 yard little, you know, 4 or 5 yard little route is thrown behind him. He catches it, but spins that way and breaks it out and goes for another 40 yards. So, he is going to be a big factor. And I'm very, very happy to see his game translate because, you know, it is a different level. He was close to 1,000-yard receiver at Georgia State, but you want to – it is a step up. It is a step up. A lot of the guys that we brought in last year were successful at a lower level, similarly to Robert Lewis, but he steps up and shows he's got speed to be able to compete and he's got the hands to be able to compete and he can get separation. I think he's going to be big. And then lastly – Sam Jackson, he was in the non-contact jersey. So you didn't get the 100. He did get tackled one time, which was kind of funny. A buddy of mine, we were watching. We're like, well, so much for the non-contact jersey. But the suddenness, the quickness, you know, he can do stuff with the ball in his hand because he played quarterback at Cal. So, you know, he knows how to run, make things happen with the ball in his hand. But the question at wide receiver is, can he get the ball in his hand? Can we get him the ball in his hand? You saw him get a little like a little like a swing route screen type play that he was able to weave and get, you know, I think well over 10 yards on that play. He made a big catch over the middle from Thorne, which was a pretty throw, a pretty read. You heard Hugh say it on the broadcast. This was when they were doing the one on, he was sort of like being color commentary on the field, which was really cool. You got a cool insight there. Made a big play over the middle. So you got those three guys. And I think those three guys probably can be pretty good players in the SEC. We know we feel really good about Cam Coleman. Robert Lewis showed some really good flashes. Sam Jackson, and then you had still had Cam Brown, who continues to do well in these camp scenarios. Is it time for him to take the next step? He looked physical. He looked fast. He made catches. Like there were no drops. He made turned a short route, a 5 or 6 yard, you know, first down, get to the sticks route into a big gain. So those four guys, you know, had, you know, he had three, Cam Brown had three catches for 45 yards. Sam Jackson had two catches for 27 yards. So your wide receiver room was your biggest question mark one of your biggest question marks last year. You felt like you left a lot of meat on the bone, there. So you're really looking for that group to take a step forward. And I think that at least with this group, they will. And then you still have, you still have Perry Thompson that can come in, and you've already seen, you know, it seems like these wide receivers, they can come in and play pretty quickly if they're ready to go. Cam Coleman's ready to go. Perry Thompson, they took a picture on the field with the fan, they called it, it was going to be the Freeze Five. Now it's just the Fantastic Four, whatever they want to call it. But you had Cam Coleman in his pads. You had Bryce Kane in his pads, and then you had Perry Thompson, who looked bigger than Cam Coleman, even without pads. Like Cam Coleman was wearing pads, Perry Thompson looked bigger than him, even with his pads on, and he still got all kinds of ability. So can he come in and get up to speed? You could have a pretty salty young wide receiver group. We're going to talk about portal later in the week, but more than likely, you're going to have some attrition in this room, and we'll have to see how we round it out. Who's there in spring? Let Will Redmond earn his check. We're not necessarily just saying who's got a relationship. Let's take the best of what's left. This is, you know, time to evaluate, pick out somebody that fits this offense, and then go get them. And there's going to be some players. There's going to be some players available. And we'll just have to see what happens there. And we'll talk a little bit about that later in the week. Moving on, the most exciting part of this whole day to me was young DBs. Our young DBs, number one, just from just the way they look is impressive, physically impressive. You got guys like Jay, they look like a bunch of cardboard cutouts of each other, a bunch of clones. You got JC Hart. You got Jay Crawford, and then you got Kinsley Faustin. You got so many of these young guys that made plays. JC Hart made a bunch of plays. He was number 20. Looks amazing in pads. You know, over 6 foot, 200 pounds, athletic, can be in your hip pocket. Really, really excited about JC Hart. He may be hard to keep off the field. Kay and Lee. Another one, you saw him all over Cam Brown, step for step, stride for stride. He was in his hip pocket. That's another young guy who's a sophomore. Jay Crawford, bless his heart, he got a bad draw of trying to cover Cam Coleman. And, you know, on the bomb, the long play, he got a little bit dusted there. But the jump ball, I mean, if it's a jump ball scenario and I can duplicate that coverage every single time, I'll take it because there's only a handful of receivers that can make that play. There's only a handful of receivers in college or the NFL that can make that play. I'll take Jay Crawford all day, every day. Another early enrollee that came in and is making a name for himself already. So those are corners, safeties. Kinsley Faustin maybe made the play of the day, and it's unbelievable because he's probably one of the unsung DBs of this class. at safety, an early enrollee. And it was fourth and one from like the 2 or 3 yard line. And we ran this little like play action deal. We run to Rivaldo all the time. Kinsley Fawson is not nearly as big, even at safety. He is not nearly as big as the other guys. I mean, we're talking, he's definitely under 200 pounds. You're talking about Rivaldo Fairweather, who's got, he doesn't have a full head of steam, but he's just still 6'5", 250. And then you have Kinsley Fawston, who's 5'11", 168, comes and absolutely sticks him short of the chains and makes the play, And then Griffin Speaks cleans it up and helps him get Rivaldo down to the ground. But still, to see a safety that's 5'11", 168, not afraid to come downhill and absolutely lay wood on my boy Valdo, who, you know, in his defense, he got hit as soon as he caught the ball. So, like, he read the play. So, and I'm sure we've run that play a good bit in practice, so he might have had a little bit of idea what was coming. But, yeah, you come downhill and you stick, you know, one of the biggest – freaks on the team and stun him, stop him short. That's something to be excited for. I didn't really notice much of Antonio Kite. I want to say, I believe in the little roster thing they gave out, he was wearing like number 41, which if they gave me 41, I might just quit. I might just leave the team. I mean, I'm serious. You can't give, don't give Antonio Kite number 41. What are you doing? And I may be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that that's what the program said. He's listed as wearing number, let's see, I think number 8, but I don't think I noticed him as wearing 8. And I'm not sure he was on the roster, but again, I could be wrong on that. But you still got him. You got all kinds of young guys. That room, your biggest obstacle with that room moving forward is going to be keeping them happy. I mean, seriously, you got dudes that can play early at a lot of different places on this roster. So you got a lot of, so how do you get that rotation going to be able to keep all those mouths fed, so to speak, keep all those guys happy? I do not envy Crime Dog, and I don't envy Charles Kelly, because there is a big task as far as keeping that room locked in, keeping that room engaged, because there's a bunch of dudes, young guys, that I think can play. Also, I didn't really notice Keontae Scott. So I know he's wanting to play outside corner. I guess that's where he'll be, but we'll have to see on that. But you saw guys like Tyler Love make plays, Tyler Scott. You know, this guy's not really young, but Champ Anthony's kind of made a name for himself. He made a few plays. Champ Anthony was a guy you added super late as a, I think maybe from like JUCO or something, sort of an unsung guy. And now he sort of moved his way into the rotation. So young guys making plays, could not ask for anything better out of spring from those guys. I'm super, super pumped. That was honestly, even more than Cam Coleman, that was what I was most excited about. Seeing J.C. Hart, Jay Crawford, those guys, all just big DBs, Kay and Lee, big DBs making plays. Love it. Absolutely love it. Before we go to the last little point, I want to give a shout out to plainscoffee.com. Use coupon code BUTTON for 10% off. Look, I beat it to death. Stop shopping at the big grocery store for your coffee. Stop going and getting that, you know, 2-3 week supply of the big old cans, plastic or aluminum, whatever it is, of coffee that's just been sitting on the shelf forever. Check out Plains Coffee. Get your coffee freshly ground, delivered days before it. Ground days before it ships. A roast for everyone. A different flavor for any coffee desire that you have. They've probably got it. And if you don't like coffee, they got tea too. So check them out. Plainscoffee.com. Use coupon code BUTTON for 10% off. All right, you can't just have all roses. You know, everything can't always be all roses. You can't boog just all 100% of the time. There's got to be some, you know, little negative or something that you can take away, that, or as far as, I guess maybe something that you could see is, hey, there's some things we need to improve. There may be some things we need to improve. And I'm going to be honest, I was a little bit shocked at this, but I think that that's going to be, for me from this game, the offensive line, one of what I felt like was going to be a big strength, seemed at times to be a weakness. It really did, even against some of the not starting defensive linemen, especially in the run game. You know, I know last year, last year was rainy. Last year was kind of miserable, but the running production last year was vastly more in the A-Day game than this year. And I know you did have a little bit more of a running threat quarterback that maybe kept the defense honest. But, I mean, you had Jeremiah Cobb, who only had 6 rushes for 12 yards. You had Damari Austin, 6 rushes for 21 yards. You had Jarquez, who had 4 rushes for no yards. And they got stuffed 2 or 3 times down on the goal line. Not a second, third, and goal. They could have got a first down before it was goal to go. And he got stuffed twice. So what's the deal there? One thing that I think you have to take into account is that in a RPO system, which is Hugh has said, this is a complete RPO system. So everything is the quarterback can pull it and run. He can give it to the running back or he can throw it. Typically, there's almost one of those on every single play. When the quarterback is 2-hand touch and he's not incredibly mobile, who cares? You know, if he breaks out, you just got to touch him and he's down. So why not just go ahead and sell out? And, you know, DJ Durkin was trying to win this game. DJ Durkin was like, screw the show. I'm trying to win. I'm trying to shut him out. So, look, if it feels like a run, crash it. Just crash the run. If they pull it, whatever. We'll have somebody go tag Peyton Thorne. He's not going to get very far anyway. And you did notice there was a couple of times where Peyton could have pulled it or he did pull it. And in a real game, he could have been running for quite a while. You know, without, because you don't, it's not 2-hand touch in a game. You got to tackle him. So I think that played a little bit into it. Definitely had to play some into it. You know, just the defense in general, just crashing, you know, crashing the run and with no real threat with the quarterback pulling it. But, you know, in general, I think they're going to have this, even though it's several similar faces, they're playing a little bit in different positions. You know, you got Dylan Wade sliding into guard. You got Jeremiah Wright, who, you know, is sort of coming back from injury, and he's healthy and sort of gaining his legs back there. And then you got a new guy in Percy Lewis that you got to learn how to play with. So, look, it's going to take some time. I still think there's a lot of talent there. There's a lot of opportunity there to have a really good offensive line. But you just have to see how it plays out because they didn't really show it in spring. Pass protection was not bad. There was some good pass protection. Jalen McLeod is unblockable, so it's hard. You got to take that into context too. He blew past too tall a few times. So, you know, Izavian Miller over there, he's going to have to continue to battle because Tyler Johnson's not that far behind. And if you still struggle pass blocking this year, and, you know, that could be a position change. You could see someone get unseated there. But overall, the offensive line in general, I was a little bit just, I was just meh on them because, I expected to be able to just line up and run over people. And they weren't – it wasn't like it was the number one defensive line that was giving them fits. It was a little bit of really any defensive line they put out there. And then in general, that one specifically that one – down there in the goal line situation was, you know, it was the third team. You had guys like Brenton Williams. You had guys like, you know, just a Jameson Trav, Bobby Travis, that they call him. You had guys like that on the field, and they stuffed them twice right there with 1 yard to go to get a first down. So got some work to do there. The good news is you got a couple of different – I feel like it's not just like that's it. That first line is it. You got some other options. There's some other different types of combinations you could probably try out and see, you know, see how they work. But overall, I'm not overly concerned because of the format of the game. I think in a different scenario, that may be able to breed a little bit more success because, like I said, DJ Durkin was trying to win that game. And you know, if it weren't for Towns McGoo, he probably would. I mean, there's no doubt he wins the game. There's no doubt the defense wins the game. He just unfortunately had a howitzer kicker with laser accuracy from anywhere. Another true freshman that's here early that kicked 7 field goals and hit all 7, including a game winner that, you know, he did get a little aided from with a Hugh sliding it up, you know, 5 yards or whatever. But overall, my overall impressions from A-Day is, number one, you can't take a ton away from A-Day. You really can't. You just got to look at development. You got to look at, you know, where guys are. Are they getting – does it seem like they're getting better? Where do they fall in the rotations? If your offense does good, then you're freaking out about defense. If your defense does good, you're freaking out about offense. I think there was a good mix of good plays from the defense. I think there was a good mix of some big plays from the offense. I think that's kind of, you know, what you're looking for. That's kind of what you're hoping for. You saw defense stand tall on a goal line. You saw offense be able to make an explosive touchdown and make several explosive plays. And then now, I mean, you got Alex. You still got Alex McPherson, who was battling a hamstring injury. And, hey, buddy, you better get healthy. That's all I got to say, because Towns McGoo is ready to, you know, he's chomping at the bit, and he's every bit as good, at least from that game, to be able to play, to go 7 for 7, a variety of different shots. It was not just chip shots. You had the game winner, which was like a 58-yarder. I wish they would have let him kick it from, like, you know, it would have been like a 62-yarder, which I think he's done before in high school. I think he made 2 of them because one was called after a timeout. One was made, there was a timeout called after one and he had to kick it again. I think he made it in high school. So he's made some 60-yarders. How electric would that have been? And it might have been the one he kicked from 58 was probably easily good from 62 or 61. But regardless, we moved it up and let him kick it a little bit closer. But it was great environment, great weather. Fans were great. I think there was, you know, a little over 30,000, and every bit of that. I think there was every bit of that. So what happens? The next step is, okay, spring's finished. We know where we're at as far as I say we know where we're at. We know what we got, and we know probably have a pretty decent idea of what we're going to lose to the portal. And probably already starting to look at how we're going to fill those holes. And we're going to talk a lot about that on the next show. Like, what are some possible areas for some attrition? What are some possible areas to look for additions and things of that nature? And obviously, you still got spring recruiting and visits. You had an unbelievable visit weekend. Got a lot of stuff going there. Probably got some commits in the near future. You got a big one committing tomorrow, Cardae Smith, four-star offensive lineman from Williamson. Is it going to be Auburn? We'll have to see. You've been sort of right there. I feel like if you push, he's yours. So we'll have to see how that goes. And then you got a quarterback committing this weekend. Just a lot of stuff going on, and we're going to talk about it on Thursday. But this was appreciate you, me being the – there's no telling how many shows that you've probably listened to talking about A-Day, but thanks for listening to my version, my take on it. I really appreciate it. So like this video, subscribe to this channel. You can follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5, and check me back on Thursday. I really appreciate it. We will catch you next time. This is episode 32, holy cow, of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.